Oh, Holy One, we long to be cultivated into missional followers of you. So would you ground us in our bodies? Would you open our hearts? And would you clear our minds to hear your voice? That we may be doers of your word, that we may put it into practice. Amen. Well, I know most of you as I look at the faces in the Zoom room, but some I don't. I'm sure some of you don't know me, but I wanted to just kind of introduce myself a little bit. I've been around Warehouse since before it was Warehouse. I'm one of the elders, although I'm not sitting on session right now. I'm not active in terms of that. But I'm really thankful to be part of this church that is called Warehouse 242. Married to Bill, my husband, and a lot of you know him. He is actually an active elder sitting on session. He's the tall guy that has a different embodiment to him. He has some unique challenges that came our way many years ago that is part of our story that maybe you'll get to hear him tell sometime. And we have two daughters. They're 10 years apart. We have a dog who lives with us named Sandy. We have a new puppy who is our youngest daughter's dog named Nico, who came just a few days ago. So it's been kind of a whirlwind here. And we have a rabbit. We live kind of south of Charlotte, a little bit out in the country, not so much out in the country anymore, on 4 acres, surrounded by some woods, but also engulfed by suburbia. So we are on the edges of Charlotte and just part of Warehouse 242. And I'm really glad to come this morning, even though I'm really nervous. This is outside my comfort zone. But when Wes asked me to think about talking about waiting as a spirit-led practice, I heard a yes pretty loudly. So I'm here to talk and to listen with you. And as you're kind of figuring out, we're going to practice. I mean, we've made some mistakes and we're just going with the flow of what's happening this morning. So it's all about practice. You know, that's what we're going to do. Our series this Advent has been called In the Waiting. And now we're in the season of Christmas. In fact, happy third day of Christmas to everybody. And our waiting hasn't ended at all, has it? And in fact, Nate's alluded to this. As Christians, waiting is normal life for us. As followers of Christ, we live in that land between, that liminal space. And we live in that already and not yet. And we have been exploring and looking at ways of how can we live better? How can we live well in the waiting? Looking at practices to help us to do that. You know, we looked at living well in the waiting, bodily, mindfully, prophetically, worshipfully. And so this morning, we want to look at living in the waiting as a spirit-led practice. Well, I don't travel alone in this journey called life, and I learn best through stories. So that's what I want to do this morning. I want to share some of these traveling companions in my life with you and share some stories. I want to start with this guy in the Bible who wrote the words we're going to look at today, and his name was Saul. Some of you may know this person. He was a ruthless persecutor of the early church. You find a lot of his story. He first enters the scene in the book of Acts in the part of the Bible called the New Testament. In chapter 7, at the very end, it shows that he's the guy standing as Stephen is stoned to death, the first martyr for his faith. Stephen is put to death, and Saul is there watching, participating by watching and consenting to what's happening. In Acts chapter 8, you find him rounding up whole families, children, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers, everyone that is following Jesus. He is on a mission to round them up, put them in jail, bring them to justice, get rid of them. He's a strong man. And then he takes that on the road to Damascus. As he's traveling there, though, he's zapped by a dazzling light from heaven. He hears a voice and he's blinded, completely blinded, as he hears, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Can you imagine in your mind, imagine what that must have been like for him? He was so sure he was going this direction, he was doing the right thing, to have everything stripped away from him and to be completely helpless without sight for 3 long days of waiting, wondering what's going on. No eating, no drinking, being kept by people he couldn't even see in a strange place, not knowing what was coming next. But in that time of waiting, he met the living God. And when his sight was restored, he was completely and forever changed. In fact, even his name got changed eventually from Saul to Paul. And he ended up journeying all over Asia, telling people about this God that he had met, about this Jesus, the Christ. In fact, he's the one that wrote most of the letters to all the churches all over Asia that make up that part of the Bible called the New Testament, where he's telling people about what this life in Christ is like and encouraging them to follow Christ. And in fact, our text this morning are some of his words that he wrote in the book of Romans, a book he wrote to people in Rome who were following Jesus, in chapter 8. So listen, people of God, to this word from God for us, from Paul. "Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God." These are words that he really experienced. He knows what he's talking about. He lived it. Well, I, for one, I'm sure with many of you, can identify with those words of wordless sighs, aching groans, not knowing how or what to pray. Well, one part of my story that I want to tell you this morning has to do with a long, grief-filled waiting and longing for a child through years of infertility. And some of you know this land well, and maybe some of you are journeying in it now. For me, it was a time of real struggle and battle with God, of hopes that would rise only month after month to be crushed, and those months turned into years. Some of my wordless prayers, my groans, my achings were, "Where is God? Didn't he see or hear or care? How long would this waiting be? Would I ever have a child?" Well, one of my practices then and now was to read scripture daily, listening in a way that wasn't to learn it or to teach it to somebody else or to give it away, but as Nate mentioned, this thing called Lectio Divina, where you'd listen, where I would listen for what God would have to say to me, hoping and praying that what I heard would change me. I still remember stumbling, literally stumbling onto Psalm 13 and the heat on my face as I read my words, my cry and complaint there on the page in front of me. Listen to what I heard. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Well, there was absolutely no way that verses 5 and 6 were coming out of my mouth. Those are just the first 4 verses. At that time, 5 and 6, that wasn't part of me. And I couldn't pray those words. They were words that spoke of trusting and singing. But to this day, I vividly remember my shock at experiencing God's Spirit praying for me, in my waiting. And it began to change me. But while that period of waiting was long, and other ones in my life have been like speed races, like the story and birth and gift of our youngest daughter, and most recently, in the past 4 days, the story of her long-awaited puppy, Nico, coming home to live with her, I've come to realize that waiting, in God's eyes, isn't about chronos time, you know, this linear step by step by step kind of time, but about kairos time, where God says, you know, 1,000 years are like a day and a day is like 1,000 years, that waiting is living life at God's pace, whatever that is, whatever pace he sets. And the way God answers my groaning is so much deeper than I actually was asking for. He's giving me what I am asking, not what I'm asking for on the surface, because he knows, his spirit knows full well my pregnant condition, what's waiting to be born in me. Well, what I was waiting for was a profound and more resilient faith. Nate referred to resilient hope. Answering what the Spirit prayed for me, knowing me better than I would ever know myself, and he gave me more of himself, showing me his unfailing love and faithfulness through his word, like Mike talked about a couple weeks ago, of this being in love with God, being loved by God in the waiting. And it no longer mattered if I ever had children. I was ready to go and do whatever God asked, wherever and however the Spirit led. So gripped was I by the love of God. Well, there's a word for this type of journeying. And Cameo is going to put up a slide so you can actually see what this word is. It's called peregrinatio. You can kind of see, oh, it probably comes from peregrine. Peregrine actually is a word that means pilgrim. So peregrinatio is this word that describes a pilgrimage journey that involves the elements of seeking, of quest, adventure, wandering, exile, with the purpose of finding the place of one's resurrection, the resurrected self, the true self in Christ. That's that pregnant thing in us that is waiting to be born, that essence of who God has made us to be. And Peregrinatio is an invitation to journey, to look for that, to give yourself to that. Well, the Celtic monks were especially known for this Peregrinatio type of journeying. And they actually used these small vessels called coracles. I want you to take a look at this. These things were made out of animal skins that were stretched over wooden frames, and then they were sealed with pitch. They're actually a little boat, you know, but they're more rounded than keeled necessarily. And there is one particular Celtic monk. I want to tell you a little bit about his story. His name was Brendan the Navigator, and he was one of these Celtic monks that was born in the late 5th century. He was born about the time that Rome was falling. He was born in Southwest Ireland, and he became a monk in his late 20s. He was also known as a miracle worker, a preacher and teacher, and eventually he had spiritual responsibility for over 3,000 monks. But in the year 565, he left all but 33 of them behind, and he embarked on a journey of peregrinatio for 7 years. So as that picture showed, and we can flip back to it if you want, Cameo, he set off in a coracle that didn't have any oars. It had a sail, and he trusted the wind and the current to guide them to arrive where they were being called to go. They literally cast themselves adrift at sea for the love of God, following only the direction the wind would take them, led by the Spirit of God who commands the wind and the waves. They traveled without rudder or oar, letting the divine current of love direct them. So unlike me, so unlike us, with our instruments of direction and control, our calendars, our to-do lists, our 5-year plans. So now I want to tell you a story of another friend of mine, another traveling companion, my friend Tamara. You may remember Mike talking, I think it was last week, about searching for a word for this year, 2020, and he heard "go outside" and he apologized to us. Well, back in 2012, my friend Tamara Park, who many of you know, was working in her dream job when it unexpectedly folded and collapsed around her. Some of the things I love about Tamara, and there are many, are her pursuit of God and her adventurous spirit. And instead of being completely defeated by the loss of this life's dream, she sensed she was being called and invited into this as an opportunity for peregrinatio. And that became the word that she carried and lived into that entire year of 2013. That word, she didn't necessarily choose it. It chose her. And she literally lived it out. She put all of her belongings in storage and she set out on a journey that carried her, in the words of Hildegard of Bingen, like a feather on the breath of God, to 5 different countries on her way to South Africa and eventually back to the States, landing her in Colorado. And that year of peregrinatio gave her amazing ways of God knowing and loving her intimately in her waiting, of the Spirit leading her and keeping her in prayer before the presence of God. There is a quote by a guy named Mark Nepo that describes this type of journey too that I love. He says that to journey without being changed is to be a nomad. You know, she could have chosen to be a nomad that year, to journey without being changed. To change without journeying is to be a chameleon. Well, she could have chosen not to journey and to let things change her, just to conform to whatever came her way. But she chose this, to journey and be transformed by the journey, is to be a pilgrim, to be a peregrine, to enter into peregrinatio. So why do this? Why, and how does this work in practice? You know, to give yourself over to God in such a way that you can trust. I want to tell you another story of a friend of mine now, my friend Kelly Brunk. She's another one of my traveling companions. And many of you know Kelly from when she worked at Warehouse. And I am in awe at how the Spirit has led her in her waiting. And the bit of her story that she allowed me permission to share, that I want to share with you, comes from a practice similar to what we did for the lament that I've referred to again, Nate referred to, and it's called Lectio Divina, that listening to God through reading the scriptures and allowing the scriptures to read us. She was in a contemplative practices group with me a number of years ago, which she claims I bullied her into, and which, by the way, Nate and I are going to lead one of these groups in Lent next year, and there'll be more about that later on coming your way. But one of the exercises that I encourage people to do in the class is they listen to God in this way, as they interacted with scripture and allowed the word to read them, was to take a word or phrase, something that they heard, and write an acrostic poem. Well, the word that she couldn't get away from was surrender. And here is what she wrote. Surrender. Surely you will use me, regardless of what I believe to be my real worth. Everything about me was designed by you. Nothing you create can be destroyed by the enemy. Remember, I am loved. I want to read that again. I want you to really listen. Listen and take this in. Maybe close your eyes. Just listen. Surrender. Surely you will use me regardless of what I believe to be my real worth. Everything about me was designed by you. Nothing you create can be destroyed by the enemy. Remember, I am loved. Well, waiting as a Spirit-led practice only happens when we surrender, when we know how everything about us is designed by God, when we remember that we are loved, when we realize that we're so worth it that our lover, our keeper, our maker chose to entail God's self in human flesh as Jesus, as Emmanuel, as God with us. And then he breathed his Spirit of life into us, through us. And that Spirit is praying for us, in us, with us, knowing us far better than we will ever, ever, ever know ourselves. Surrender. Why not? Well, my goodness, we are almost at the end of 2020, and we've had much of our control and agenda wrested out of our hands with this coronavirus. Have we ever thought what a gift it may have been for us to realize that this is an invitation for us to surrender, to trust with resilient hope, with resilient faith? It's been a very long year of waiting. The waiting's not going away. It's not over yet, not by a long shot. In fact, just the other day, I read in the New York Times that the number of new daily cases has risen more than fivefold since Labor Day of this coronavirus, largely because Americans are tired of staying at home and of all the other disruptions to normal life. And understandably so, it's pretty miserable. Yet, it is also clear that our impatience is killing people. Almost 20,000 Americans died of confirmed COVID cases this past week, and the next week's toll will probably be worse. Hear that again. Our impatience, our unwillingness to wait, our discomfort with mystery of not knowing, of not having control, of not feeling safe or secure or wanting things to be a certain way, our impatience is killing us as Americans. But we are the people of God. We're called to live and embrace life a different way, to live well in this waiting, to missionally follow this Christ, this Jesus, this God with us, this Spirit living and breathing and praying and groaning and aching with us, for us in this waiting. So how do we practice? How do we relinquish our sense of security? How do we surrender our sense of control, our desire to control, and our ego? How do we surrender into radical trust? Well, I don't know how this is going to work, but this is what I want you to try. I want you to try a practice with me. Wherever you are, I want you to stand up, and I want you to get somewhere where you're going to be in a doorway, okay? And I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to do my best here. So I'm going to give you a minute, and if you're willing and able, go stand yourself in a doorway somewhere. You know, you may face out like this initially, or you may face the direction you're heading in the doorway, which you can't really see me now, but I'm in a doorway. But where I want you to eventually end up is actually in the doorway. So if you can see, I have one foot where I was coming from on this side of the doorway, and then the other foot is on the other side of the doorway, and I'm standing in the middle of the doorway. This is something I want you to try this next week for 2020. Now, once you're standing there, I want you just to stand in the doorway. And hopefully you slowly turned your body so that you're in the middle. And you may want to just close your eyes. And I want you just to stand here. And I want you to wait. And as you're waiting, call to mind that image that chose you in our lament. Remember what it looked like. Let that image arise. And wait. Wait for the thoughts to come. Why am I standing here? This is stupid. What a waste of time. Why is she having us do this? I'm impatient. Let's get on with it. Let these things rise in your body. Where do you feel them? Where is it in your body? Breathe into that space in your body and just stand in the doorway. And what other chatter and static is filling your mind? What thoughts are coming? And pray as you breathe, a breath prayer. like Wes mentioned, slowly inhale and exhale. Pray those words of your breath prayer over and over as you inhale and exhale, standing, waiting in the doorway until those words of your breath prayer begin to pray you. Welcome and invite the Holy Spirit into whatever you're sensing in your body, whatever is running through your mind. Release them, these thoughts, these feelings, these sensations, into God's care. Let this waiting do its work in you. Whatever is arising in you, whatever is challenging you or calling to you, invite the Holy Spirit. Recognize the Holy Spirit in it as you stand and you wait. 5 minutes a day for a week. Just stand there in your doorway. And know that the moment you get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping you along. If you don't know how to pray or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does your praying in and for you, making prayer out of your wordless sighs, your aching groans. He knows you far better than you know yourself. He knows your pregnant condition, what is waiting to be born in you, and he keeps you present before God. Well, friends, in our waiting, may we all surrender in radical trust into Peregrinatio as a faith community, in the coracle together as missional followers of Jesus the Christ.